the second last section of this third chapter on Karma Yoga. So Lord Krishna will give general principles now. So in the previous section, he has talked about how on one side the karma kanda binds, but Karma Yoga doesn't bind because of the consciousness of non-doership. And now Krishna will talk about the broad principles of having faith in his message and harmonizing with his message. Yeme matamidam nityam.
Yeme matamidam nityam.
Anutishthanti manavaha.
Anutishthanti manavaha.
Shaddhavanto anasuyanto.
Shaddhavanto anasuyanto.
Uchyante te api karmabhi.
Uchyante te api karmabhi.
So, yeme matam idam nityam. So, the word mata in our normal conversation means opinion. And generally opinion doesn't have so much authority. Okay, it's your opinion, my opinion. But Krishna is saying this is my mata eternally. Nitya. These are my eternal instructions. And our opinion doesn't have much value because our perspective is limited. Now, we can't see the past too much. We don't remember the past too clearly. We can't see the future at all. Even in the present, what we can see is limited. We can't see inside the hearts of people. We can't even see properly in our own hearts. So because of all these limitations, our opinion is subjective, and that subjectivity is a serious limitation and disqualification. But for Krishna, because he is omniscient, his opinion is not just objective, but it encompasses all of reality. And that's why there's a finality to his opinion. So, his word is the last word, conclusive word. Krishna is saying nityam. And if somebody follows, tishtanti means to live by, anutishtanti, systematically live by, manavaha, those human beings. Shraddhavanto anasuyanto. So, two qualifications. Shraddhavanto is with faith, anasuyanto is without envy. Muchyante, that person will become liberated. Karma bhi, from the bond of karma. So now Krishna is talking here in broad terms. Although earlier he talked about Varna Sankara, and earlier he talked about freedom from sinful reactions. Well, so Krishna is not using the word Muchyante tepi papabhi. Muchyanti tepi karmabhi. That means from bad reactions and good reactions, one will become free if one follows the instructions of Krishna. So this verse is clearly referring to Karma Yoga. Although Krishna has talked about Karma Kand also, Karma Kand doesn't free us from all karma. It may only free us from bad karma. So Krishna is saying freedom from all karma. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that those who are not Shraddhavanto Anasuyanto, they cannot become Uchyate. These two are required. And then Prabhupada gives a very insightful and hope-giving statement. He says, an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunction of the Lord. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will be surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the sadhaka level and the siddha level. And he says at the sadhaka level, one may not be able to follow the principle strictly. One may not be able to fully discharge the injunctions. But two things, Prabhupada says that one is not resentful of this principle. Resentful means, why is Krishna the enjoyer? Why am I not the enjoyer? Okay, I cannot give up the desire to enjoy. I cannot give up the activities of enjoyment sometimes. But I am not resentful of this principle. And without consideration of defeat and hopelessness. So defeat, oh, I am lost. I can never win. A devotee may be defeated by Maya, but a devotee never becomes hopeless because he understands that Krishna is always there to help. Krishna is my supreme hope. You know, in the Bhaktisama Sindhu, Asha Bhatta is one characteristic of a devotee, always having desires. I was having the hope that Krishna will one day deliver me. And Prabhupada is paraphrasing that over here. So the previous verse, especially when Krishna says Nirashi Nirmamo Bhutva and Mai Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya Adhyatma Chitasa, that was a quite a lofty level of instruction. And Arjuna may feel, oh, this is not possible for me to practice. But Krishna says, you try to practice it at whatever level we can. And by that, one will eventually come to the highest level. So, when we face the high standards of Krishna consciousness, there are two possible reactions to it. One is, we just become helpless and think, I am so fallen that, oh, they can never be practiced. I can never practice. And the other reaction is, these are impractical. They are not practical. It is not possible to follow the instructions. Now, both these actions, both these attitudes cheat us of spiritual advancement. What are the two attitudes? One is, see, it's like if a person is supposed to do a high jump. So there is a hurdle at a particular level. And now if I have to jump across that hurdle, now if I see the hurdle is very high, one thing I may think is, oh, actually I can never jump. That's a big deal. So that is what Prabhupada is talking about, is hopelessness. I can never do it. And the other is, hey, why are you put this hurdle so high? It's not fair. Bring the hurdle down. How do you expect me to jump off this hurdle? So the other is, be resentful of the standards. So these two are both attitudes that cheat us of spiritual advancement. Certainly, it may not be easy for us to practice these standards right now. And that is understood. So we are here. We have discussed the differences between Karma Yoga and Karma Kanda. And now Krishna is describing how faith is an essential element for by which one is elevated through Karma Yoga. So now, here, wrong attitudes towards devotional standards. The standard is too high and impractical. That is the first obstacle. This other is hopelessness. I am too fallen. So both these attitudes obstruct us in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada is protecting us from both of these attitudes. So he's telling us that, yes, I cannot practice this, that is fine. I cannot practice this, this is fine. That doesn't mean that I reject the standards or I resent the standards. See, reject means, I say I'll not follow this one. And resent means that internally, this is not fair, this is not good. So both ways, actually, we cheat ourselves. Rejection or resentment, the standard is too high and impractical. So, now, what would be the right attitude? Right attitude is, if a hurdle is too high, then what does the athlete do? He checks, stops, and he goes back, takes a few steps back, maybe several steps back, and then gathers a momentum while running. And once he has gathered sufficient momentum, then the same hurdle, which was impossible to scale, because of the momentum, he jumps across. But similarly, sometimes when some standards seem a little too high to practice for us, then we have to step back and gather some more momentum. And once we gather a momentum, then we can move forwards. And sometimes for the sake of gathering momentum, in an athlete may withdraw backwards. So that withdrawal, if it is necessary, then it is not to be equated with defeat. sometimes somebody would may feel that, okay, now my mind is getting too agitated, I need to withdraw, I can't do so much services, I need to focus on my sadhana, on extra chanting, extra reading, extra hearing. These sort of retreats are for that purpose of stabilization. You know, we get a requisite devotional momentum in our inner lives. And then we can scale the tall hurdle. So now the contrasting attitude Krishna talks about in the next verse. In this verse he says, Shraddhavanto Anasuyanto. So in the next verse he will talk about another category of people who are the opposite of this. So Krishna says abhisuyanto. So it's exactly opposite of the previous line. And the Shraddha Anasuyanto and Abhasuyanto. It's opposite. And previous was Tishthanti, it is Nanutishthanti. Mematam. So, for such people who are envious and not harmonious with Krishna, Krishna says that they may have knowledge. Sarva Jnana Vimudhamstam. Although they have knowledge, all their knowledge gets frustrated. They become Vimudha in spite of having their knowledge. Why? Vidhinashtan achetasaha. Achetasaha means their consciousness is misdirected. When the consciousness is misdirected, at that time, no matter how much knowledge one has, one cannot get realization. So here Krishna is talking of, they have jnana, but they don't make spiritual advancement. Why? Because achetasaha. So Prabhupada talks in the purport about, in this previous purport, as of this purport, they are like continuous flow of thought. So Prabhupada is saying that many scholars who are, in the previous verse he said that the scholars who write commentaries in the Bhagavad Gita, but they have no faith in Krishna. It's talk. There are many philosophers who write comments, but they have no faith in Krishna. And Prabhupada continues that flow of thought over here. That just as there is a king, and if one doesn't obey the king, one will get punished. Similarly, actually the soul in this world is being maintained by Krishna's arrangement. We discuss Devan Bhavitanina Te Deva Bhavyantua. Krishna is maintaining everyone through the arrangement of the Devatas. And one who doesn't obey the Supreme Lord, the Supreme King, he is bound to be punished. And such a person, Prabhupada writes, due to a vacant heart, empty heart, such a person doesn't get any tangible spiritual advancement. So what is the instruction that Krishna is talking about over here? The instruction specifically for Arjuna is to fight the war. Generically, at a broad level, the instruction is to harmonize with Varanashram Dharma principles. One should do one's own duty. And within Varanashram, one should practice Varanashram for the sake of spiritual purification at the level of Karma Yoga. So that is the instruction. And Krishna uses the word Nityam for one more purpose. Actually, Arjuna should not think that Krishna is just using all this reasoning for the sake of making Arjuna fight it somehow. No, this is not just a circumstantial instruction I am giving for you. It is an eternal instruction. The eternal instruction is an eternal principle, and it has led to liberation for many, many people, just like Janaka in the past, and it will liberate you also. So now after telling this, Krishna will now reiterate his instructions in a slightly different way. The emphasis of the instructions is practice Karma Yoga. Arjuna may still think, Arjuna has been told earlier that even if you are Jnanavan, even if you are in knowledge and if you are capable of practicing Jnana Yoga, still practice Karma Yoga for the sake of setting an example for others. Now Krishna will give an additional reason, even if you are at the level of Jnana, still even the Jnanavan people act according to their nature. So this verse in its import is similar to 3.5 was what? Nahi kaschit chanamati yad tishtatya karma krit. That nobody can stay without action. The same principle Krishna is telling over here now in this verse. Sadrushim cheshtate svasyaha.
Sadrushim cheshtate svasyaha.
Prakriter jnanavanapi. ప్రకృతిం యాంతి భూతాని నిగ్రహ కిం కరిష్యతి సదృశ్యం చేష్టతే స్వస్యః. స్వస్యః మీన్స్ వన్స్ ఓన్. సదృశ్యం ఇస్ లైక్ చేష్టతే, వన్ యాక్ట్స్, చేష్ట వన్ డస్ చేష్ట అకార్డింగ్ టు వన్స్ ప్రకృతి. జ్ఞానవాన్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ వన్ హాస్ నాలెడ్జ్, స్టిల్ వన్ విల్ యాక్ట్ అకార్డింగ్ టు వన్స్ ప్రకృతి. అండ్ ప్రకృతి యాంతి భూతాని, నాట్ ఓన్లీ ది జ్ఞానవాన్, ఎవ్రీబడి యాక్ట్స్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ప్రకృతి. దేర్ఫోర్ నిగ్రహ కిం కరిష్యతి అర్జున, వాట్ విల్ యు అటైన్ బై రిప్రెషన్? You say that you will not fight now, but if you start living like a renunciate, when you are going out to seek arms, and at that time, if somebody says no to arms for you, what will you do? You take out your sword to attack that person. How dare you say no? Actually, the difference between a Kshatriya and a Brahmana is that a Brahmana receives arms, a Kshatriya takes taxes. That's the difference, because Kshatriya takes, whereas a Brahmana receives. So, Arjuna is a Kshatriya and he says, you will act according to your nature. You cannot avoid that nature. Therefore, nigraha kim karishyati. What can repression accomplish? So now, in this context, there is a difference between prakriti and vasana. Prakriti and Vasana. What is the difference? Now, Prakriti and Vasana are both material. Prakriti is material nature. Vasana is material desire. So, what is the difference between material nature and material desire? Actually, material nature is much, much deeper. For example, for a Brahmana to want to study scripture, that is natural. Now we can say that is also his desire. But when we talk about vasana, vasana is a more superficial desire that is often induced by external provocations, and that actually cannot be harmonized with dharma. So material nature is harmonizable with dharma. Prakriti is innate to our psychophysical nature and is harmonizable with our dharma, whereas vasana is superficial to our psychophysical nature. And it is not harmonizable with dharma. Psychophysical means according to our body and our mind. So our body and mind thinks in a particular way. Functions in a particular way. When Arjuna, Bhima and Krishna went to Jarasandha in the guise of Brahmanas, Jarasandha observed and said, these cannot be Brahmanas. Their bodies are too well built. And then when he heard their voices speaking, their speech is not gentle and serene, it is commanding and cutting. He said, because their speech is commanding and cutting, not gentle and serene. So Brahmana may also speak in cutting ways, but the normal speech is not commanding. The Brahmana is more like counselor. Kshatriya has to command. So he says, this cannot be Brahmana. They must be Kshatriya. But anyway, they have come to in the garb of Brahmana, the alluring charity, whatever they want. So the point is that even when the Pandavas and Krishna, Bhima, Arjuna and Krishna were trying to hide their Kshatriya identity and act like Brahmanas. They had accepted a garb of Brahmanas. But their behavior, their body as well as their behavior showed that actually they are not Brahmana, they are Kshatriyas. So it is natural that there are particular ways in which we act. So the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita is not to suppress our Prakriti. Whatever is our Prakriti, we should use it in Krishna's service. And by using our Prakriti in Krishna's service, we become purified of it. On the other hand, Vasana is lust, anger, greed, envy. Now they largely have to be purified. They have to be regulated very strictly and they have to be purified. So when Krishna is talking about Nigraha Kim Karishyati, he is referring to Prakriti, he is not referring to Vasana. He is referring to the fact that our material nature cannot be subdued, but our material desires do need to be subdued. And now, continuing the same theme, in the next verse Krishna will tell of how it is important for all of us to act according to our nature. Srila Prabhupada explains the purport about Prakriti. Prakriti Jnana Imanapi. So he uses two words over here. There are many so-called spiritualists who outwardly pose as advanced in the science, but inwardly or privately are completely under particular modes of nature which they are unable to surpass. Inwardly or privately, what is the difference between them? Inwardly means internally all material desires are driving them mad, inwardly. And privately means they express it. Inwardly means they are not expressing it, although they are internally there. And privately means they have one profile in public, but privately they even give vent to their desires. So that's how their public profile is completely, significantly or completely at variance with their private behavior and especially their internal thought process. So this is Prakriti Prakriter Jnanavanapi. So Prabhupada explained that Krishna consciousness is the way to become free from this material entanglement. Now all of us also act according to our nature, but we try to keep our nature within the sanctity, within the boundary of dharma. Indriyasyendriyasyathe
Indriyasyendriyasyathe
Ragadveshau vyavasthitau
Ragadveshau vyavasthitau
Tayor navashamagacche
Tayor navashamagacche
Tavyasya parimanthinau
Tavyasya parimanthinau.
So Indriya and Indriyasyathe, with the senses and sense objects, vyavasthitau. Sthitau means to be situated. Vyavasthitau means properly situated. It is situated properly between the senses and sense objects. What is situated? Raga and Dvesha. And there is natural attraction and aversion between senses and sense objects. So in the human body, there is a natural attraction towards halva, raga, and the natural aversion towards stool, Dvesha. But in a hog's body, there is natural attraction towards stool. So this Indriyasya Indriyasyaste Vivasthitau Raga Dvesha. Raga Dvesha is properly situated. That is just according to bodily nature. And because it is bodily nature, Krishna in the previous verse said, you cannot repress it. But in this verse, he is saying, do not come under his control also. So, the previous verse said, don't completely repress it. This verse said, don't completely come under the control of it. What is the essential message? Regulate it within the limits of dharma. So, your kshatriya naturally wants to control and dominate and command. But he has to control and dominate and command in accordance with the principles of dharma. So this verse talks about the middle way. The 33rd verse is talking about no extreme suppression. 34th verse is talking about so what is the middle way? Is talking about total suppression. No. 34 is talking about unrestricted expression. That is also no. So in this way, what is the right thing to do? There is regulated expression. That is the regulated expression, is the path of karma yoga. Regulated expression of our nature. And this is actually something which all of us will gradually learn as we practice our spiritual life. No, as we sometimes we think, okay, I want to advance, so I'll sleep only 4 hours every night. And then I sleep only 4 hours at night, and then maybe, you know, 4 or 5 hours I am in a half sleeping state throughout the day. And then I realize that. Or sometimes in daytime, so this is, you know, I try to largely suppress my body needs. On the other hand, what happens is, in the daytime, I feel a little sleepy. I think I need to sleep. Let me go to sleep. So now normally what happens, every day, the first time we feel sleepy in the daytime, it's often that daytime sleep is because of lack of interest than rather than lack of rest. It's quite possible. Because our conditioned mind doesn't take interest in Krishna consciousness. And you know, there are so many times I have experienced that I feel so sleepy and I think I need to take rest. But then when prasadam comes, all the sleep goes away.
Okay.
I never till now experienced that I'm so tired that somebody brings prasadam, I say I'll take rest first, then I'll take prasadam. It is very rarely happens like that. So why? Because maybe if it's Ekadashi and we don't like the prasadam, then okay, I'll sleep now. Afterwards I'll take prasadam. So in many occasions, the daytime sleep is often because of lack of interest or boredom. And it is not so much because of lack of rest. So it is not that at the first interval, oh, I feel sleepy, let me just go to sleep. Now we can try to resist it a little bit. And over a period of time, we come to understand, okay, this is maybe I need 6 hours sleep, 6.5 hours sleep, 5.5 hours sleep. All of us, we come to a balance gradually. So if we go too much on either side, that will not work for us. Similarly with everything, with respect to eating also. Over a period of time, we learn how much I should eat and how much I should not eat. So eating, sleeping, all these things, gradually we come to the regular experience. Similarly, acting according to our nature. Now we have certain talents and we like to do those things. If I don't know the thing, we can do those. Say, if somebody likes to sing, well, that person can sing for 24 hours a day. He can sing that. But then, he also has to do other services, other sadhana. And so, if he just says, I'll do only that, then what will happen? Two things will happen. If a person just does what he likes to do, even within Krishna's service, first thing is, the sense of karta will come tremendously. If you only do what we like to do, two problems will come up. Discipline our mind, these two problems will come up. We only do things that we like to do. First thing is, yes, I am doing it. Because generally, what are the things that we like to do? The things which we are good at doing. And when we are good at doing some things, then generally it is not very easy to be prayerful while doing those things. Actually, when we are good at doing something, and when we are doing it, we are more conscious of how many people are noticing how well I am doing it. And so we get a very strong sense of doership. And then, because our conditioned nature likes to do it, so we are never really going against our mind. So we are practicing devotional service, but we are practicing devotional service at the mercy of the mind. Our devotional service is not dependent on the mercy of Krishna and Guru. It depends on the mercy of the mind. That means, within the limit of devotional service, whatever the mind allows me to do, I'll do it. And the mind says, no. It's within devotional service, but I'll not do it. So what happens is, we are never fighting against the mind. And then we don't. So what happens? especially when we have to do our sadhana, we have to hear classes, we have to chant 16 rounds, the mind doesn't like to do that. And if you are not practicing resisting against the mind, then these activities become very difficult and tasteless. And we start feeling it. So maybe like get over with this so that I can get on with the real business of my life. But actually chanting, hearing is the real business of our life. Because that is what is going to deeply develop our relationship with Krishna. So therefore, so so therefore Krishna is telling that if you want to practice, practice in a balanced middle way. So now after telling this, in the next verse Krishna will again reiterate the principle that we have to act according to our nature. So can we go ahead? So the two consequences of not acting in a regulated way is that we will get a strong sense of worship and we will never learn to discipline our mind, and so won't be able to develop taste
for core devotional activity.
Won't develop taste for core devotional. So now, this 35th
verse says that regulated expression is a must.
That's what he will tell in this verse. Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha Aradharma Swanushtita
Aradharma Swanushtita
Swadharme Nidhanam Shreya
Swadharme Nidhanam Shreya
Aradharmo Bhayavaha
Aradharmo Bhayavaha.
So, Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha, one's own dharma, even if faulty, Vigunaha. It has many goods in it, many bad faults in it. Paradharma swanishthita. Or as compared to paradharma, one's own dharma is better. Shreya, it is better. Arjuna had asked Krishna, what is Shreya for me? What are the words that he asked for Shreya? 2.7. Karpandidosho bhartaso vichyami tvam dharma moodashita. Yes, Shreya syam. So he asked for Shreya. Krishna is telling Arjuna, what is Shreya for you? To act according to your dharma. And swadharme nidhanam shreya. Nidhana can at one level to lose dhanam. It can mean to become poverty stricken. Nidhana also means destruction. Manyetvam kalavishanam anadi nidhanam vibho. In the prayers of Queen Kunti, he says that anadi nidhanam vibho. Anadi, you have no beginning. And actually, you are yourself indestructible, but you cause the destruction of everyone else. So, swadharme nidhanam shreya. In the Krishna using the word shreya twice in the same words. In one's own duty to be destroyed is better than to do another duty, because paradharma bhayavaha. Other duty is fearful. Fearful. So, why is it fearful? Because at that time we have surrendered to the mind. And once we are surrendered to the mind, we don't know where the mind will take us. But we are within the safe track of dharma, then we can go move forward for safely. So Prabhupada explains Varnashram Dharma, and he says the Swadharma can refer to our material nature, it can refer to our spiritual nature. So in this context, it's focusing primarily on our material nature. Primarily on our material nature. And at the level of our material nature, we have to act according to our varna. And he gives example, once one has transcended, one can act according to what is not our varna also. Just like the two examples which Prabhupada gives. A Brahman acting like a Kshatriya and a Kshatriya acting like a Brahman. Are the examples? Vishwamitra is Kshatriya acting like a Brahman and Parashuram is Brahman acting like a Kshatriya. Yes. Now, this purport is also a continuation of the previous purport. And the previous purport, Prabhupada talks about that this particular point, Tau yasya paripanthinau. Paripanthinau can mean obstacles. Pantha is path. Pari means thieves. So Raga and Dvesha are thieves on the path. And Prabhupada explains that even on a royal road, there can be accidents. Similarly, even when we are following the rules and regulations, still there is danger. See, it's like if I know car driving, then there is still a chance of danger. If I don't know car driving, it is not that there is a chance of danger, there is certainty of danger. But even when I know car driving, still there is a chance of danger, there is a possibility of danger. So there has to, always has to be caution. That's what Prabhupada says, that even within within enjoyment, so first Krishna is telling that unrestricted sense enjoyment should be given up. We talked about regulated expression. But in this purport, Prabhupada will explain that we should not rely upon the control of such allowances, and enjoyment under regulation may also lead to suffering. And here is a very important point. Any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must be avoided by all means. So what does it mean? There is regulated enjoyment that is allowed. So for example, so Prabhupada talks about a person who is a grihastha. So he has the allowance to have sexual relationship with his wife. But Prabhupada is saying even the regulated sense enjoyment, one should not become attached to that. Why? One becomes attached to that, then the nature of the mind will keep hankering for more and more and more. On the other hand, if one is detached from it, then one will never go beyond the regulations. So Prabhupada is actually talking about a very lofty standard over here. First we have to regulate our enjoyment, and then we can give up attachment to the regulation also. But at least we have to begin by regulating our enjoyment. So four regulating principles, when we follow, what are we doing? We are regulating the enjoyment. We are regulating, and to some extent following the regulation of the Brahmacharya Ashram is relatively easy. But when we go out, then often getting prasad is difficult, and avoiding going garlic and things like that becomes quite difficult. But Prabhupada would say that at one level, even regulated enjoyment, we need to regulate it in a particular way. So in the early days of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada would say that when you serve prasadam, eat as much as you want. Prabhupada would personally serve prasad to everyone. And in the early days, they would have out just near the exit of the temple, they would have a big box filled with gulab jamuns. And Prabhupada, whenever you want, you can take a gulab jamun. And then sometimes they go to say, these rules are very difficult. I want to do this, I want to do that, I can't do it. And they will go away. And then when they would go away, they will take a taste of the gulab jamun, they will remember. Oh, where will I get the gulab jamun again? For the sake of gulab jamun, they would come back again. And they will come back, the other day would try them and then keep the Krishna service. So they had a slogan, gulab a day keeps Maya away. So they had a slogan. But then after a period of time, then Prabhupada started telling them that, you need to regulate your eating. So that you only, but Prabhupada, you only told us to eat as much as we wanted. He said, yes. So if you follow that instruction, because it came from me, now this instruction is also coming from you, follow this instruction also. So of course, in general, Prabhupada was not very strict about regulating prasadam. He said, as long as it is prasadam, that is fine. But on a habitual basis, eating too opulent food, it can trigger the enjoyment mentality. So in general, there are occasional feasts, and at time taking auspicious food is fine. But on a regulated basis, it's good to have a standard diet. When Rama was asked about this question, he said that, take only prasadam and take at regulated times. So he didn't bother too much that you should not take sweets or not this, not that, but take at regulated times. So what happens is, if the mind is freed from that thought, when will I get something to eat? This is the time when I'll get something to eat, and I'll get good things to eat at that time. Then the remaining time, the mind can be free to think about other things. So that way, we don't have to let our mind get bogged up in thoughts of eating, thoughts of sleeping, if we regulate those things. So if we have a regulated time for sleeping, like we know, 5.5-6 hours I'm going to sleep every day, then, I've slept enough, I'm not going to sleep in the daytime. But if we have made our night schedule also, it's a little unpredictable. Sometimes 5 hours, sometimes 4 hours, sometimes 6 hours. Well, sometimes I sleep in the daytime, sometimes I don't sleep in the daytime. Then even when I have 6 hours sleep, the mind is, let me sleep a little bit. Maybe I'll be more fresh after a week. And I can do more work. So, it's not wrong to sleep in the daytime. That's not what all the issue over here. All that we are talking about is regulation. Some devotees function most effectively with, say, 5.5 hours and half hour sleep. Some devotees function most effectively after, say, only 6 hours night sleep or 6.5 hours night sleep, whatever, and no sleep during the daytime. So different devotees will function differently. So the point here is not about whether we sleep in the daytime or not. The point is regulation. If you are regulated, then we can move forward nicely in our spirituality. Now, again, with regulation, there are two extremes. One is, you may have heard this saying that if you want to make Krishna laugh, what is it? Tell your plans to Krishna. You have heard this saying? If you want to make Krishna laugh, tell your plans to Krishna. That means what? We make all our plans and man proposes, God disposes. So none of our plans will work. So now sometimes this sort of thing is used in a slightly wrong way. So again, another way of looking at this middle way is that as devotees, should we
plan or not? So now, if we don't plan, planning, yes, because it expresses our seriousness and brings us to goodness.
So how does planning express our seriousness? If anything we consider important, we plan about it. This. If I have got a very important exam to crack and I have 500 pages to study system, then I'll plan. Okay, I have 15 days. So every day I'll run study 50 pages. So anything that is serious, we plan about it. So planning expresses our seriousness. And planning also helps us to come to the mode of goodness. How? Because we have a set pattern. Okay, this. When we have a set pattern, then we can't get pushed too much by the mind. Mind says, come on, do this. Mind says, come on, do that. We don't leave ourselves too much at the mercy of the mind if there is a plan for us. So that way, planning brings us to goodness. At the same time, so what is in favor of planning is, yes, because it expresses our seriousness, Krishna. What is not in favor of planning is that, because we want to surrender to Krishna's will, and planning is an expression of our will. I want to do things like this. So we can have both sides of the argument. One side, the other side of the argument is that we think we are the controllers and I will make things happen according to my plan. So planning can be an expression of our will for controllership. But at the same time, if we see, when we plan, most of the time our plans don't work. But even when our plans don't work, if we have made plans, we will know what to make work. Okay, my plan may not work, but how will I keep moving forward? If we have made no plan, okay, I have 25 things to do, and I have not made a plan of how to do 25 things. First thing doesn't work, we get discouraged. Second thing doesn't work, we get more discouraged. Third thing doesn't work, we get depressed. Fourth thing doesn't work, nothing will work. Fifth thing doesn't work, he says, Sarvadharmaan Parityajya Maya Mekam Sharanam Vraja. The only thing that works is, I just eat and sleep. Yes, we get frustrated. So sometimes, if we don't make any plans, when things don't work out, then we just give up everything. But if we have a plan, okay, this doesn't work out, I can do the next thing. This doesn't work out, I can do the next thing. So things can move forward. So that means, we make plans, but we are not attached to our plans. We make plans, but we don't become attached to our plans. So how is this possible that we don't become attached to our plans? That means that if some circumstances are unavoidable, or if some instructions come from some senior devotees, some higher authorities, that we change, we are ready to change. But when we make our plans, we are showing our seriousness to Krishna. And by being flexible about our plans, we are showing our surrender to Krishna. So that's how we show both seriousness and surrender. by making plans, but by not being attached to our plans. So now, in this particular verse, Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna, Prabhupada is talking about how we need to act according to our nature. And among these verses that we discussed, is 35 and 33 are often misused. 33 is used by the people of Sambhogpur Samadhi. They say, Nigraha Kimundarishit, just enjoy. What can recreation accomplish? And this Paradharma Bhayavaha is used by people who talk about anti-conversion. Don't convert it to any other religion. Oh, that's very dangerous. Paradharma Bhayavaha. But these are not the if you look at the context of the Bhagavad Gita, this is not what is being talked about. Now this verse, Shriyanso Dharma Vivana, can also be understood at transcendental level. At transcendental level, now all of us have a rasa in relationship with Krishna. And we see that a devotee is naturally served according to the rasa. A devotee is not attracted to any service, it is not according to the rasa. That's why we have Raghunatha Goswami, when he was brought charge on a leaf that was from Sakistani. You know what did he say? Hey, take it away, I cannot take it. Why? Because he is serving Radharani in a particular mood. He is serving Krishna through Radharani as a manjari in a particular mood. And Chandravali's mood is different. So this verse also has, from the Gaudiya Vaishnava point of view, application at a transcendental level. So naturally, as we will evolve spiritually, we will become attracted to a particular form of Krishna, a particular mellow of the relationship. That will evolve gradually. So right now we may feel, oh, I like Lord Ram's pastime very much. Or I like Krishna's Balmila very much. But at our level, probably it's our attraction is mostly more cultural than spiritual. Because of our past culture, maybe in childhood we heard Krishna's childhood pastimes. Or in childhood we heard a lot of Lord Ram's pastimes. So we think, I like that. It's good. Anyway, we are attracted to Krishna, that is fine. But that is not necessarily indicative of our eternal Swarupa. It is not indicative of our eternal Swarupa. And anyway...
That's what fell down.
So, at our level, whatever way we are attracted to Krishna, that is fine. And even if we have some relationship with Krishna, say, in his form as Ram, after we become purified of our material attachments, then our Swarupa will be revealed to us. And then naturally we will move towards that particular rasa. So, there is one devotee, a singer, Brahmachari in Vrindavan. You know, he was sort of, you know, he had an actual attraction to Sakyas. Now, he had practiced Krishna for about 35-40 years. And then he went to the spiritual master and he told him, I feel very attracted to the Sakya Rasa. So the spiritual master talked with him seriously. Told him, yes. So then it's every day when he would sing Tulsi Aarti. So then Tulsi Aarti say, what is it? What is that word? That line? Poro Dasi. What is that line?
Koro Nijadasi.
So he would say Koro Nijadasi. He would sing like that. And Shri Master, you can sing like that. That is not a problem. So that is, one is very elevated. So that will be revealed to us gradually. It will be revealed, an actual attraction will come. And as a future master will confirm that. But at our level, what is for us, you understand that whatever the material nature, I harmonize that with devotional service. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Prema.